Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue our series of lessons from Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about the Christian armor. We started this series of lessons last week. We're going to continue this morning in our series of lessons. We will be in Ephesians chapter 6 for several weeks, so let me encourage you to be reading this context. It's a great context, a very practical context that we are studying. It's good to see everybody this morning. As you know, today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. It's just a great day to be alive, great day to be able to come together as the people of God. I know the young people had a great week at camp. There were several baptisms this last week. We're very thankful for that. I'm a little confused about camp. We took three girls, dropped off three girls, came home with five. I'm not too sure about that. Please be praying for me. We can see that we have a house full of girls, and it's been very, very different, but we're glad to have the girls staying with us. It's been a wonderful, wonderful treat. Let's begin this morning by reading Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse number 10. And as I said, this context really goes down through verse 19, even into verse number 20. We're not going to read all of those verses this morning, but we'll read 10 through at least verse number 13 to get us started. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 10. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." You know, as we read those few verses this morning, we realize that we're in a very serious battle. A very serious war. And the battle, the war that we are in, is spiritual in nature. That's what this context is all about as we read through it together. It is about a spiritual warfare that is going on. And as long as we're in this world, this spiritual battle will continue. It's not a physical warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul talks about this warfare that we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, when he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." As we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, we are at war, a spiritual warfare against spiritual wickedness. As you're looking at verse number 12, when Paul says, "against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness," Paul is wanting us to understand that it is spiritual. And all of this represents darkness, evil, the evil that we are fighting against. And so as we look at this context over the next few weeks, let's remember from the context that we're talking about a spiritual warfare. And every Christian, every New Testament Christian must view themselves as a warrior or as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You will find that terminology in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, where Paul says that we are to endure the hardness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. as we think about this warfare, as we think about Ephesians 6 verse 10, being a part of the army of God, we must view ourselves as a soldier who's been drafted by the King of Kings. In other words, you think about our duty as a soldier, being drafted by the King of Kings. There is no deferment. There is no turning back in this spiritual warfare. Think about the sons of Ephraim in the Old Testament. And notice the language describing the children of Israel. In Psalm 78 verse 9, the sons of Ephraim, being armed with bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now I realize that was a physical battle, Psalm 78 verse number 9. But we're taking those principles and applying them to the spiritual battle that we're in as the army of God. Again, there is no deferment. There is no turning back in the day of battle. Paul is encouraging us to strap it on and fight spiritually speaking. I think people know how to fight physically speaking, but a lot of people don't know how to fight spiritually speaking, because we're talking about a different kind of war. You know, if you can box, and if you can kickbox, it won't do you any good in this spiritual warfare. You can swat at the devil all day long and you will miss him every time. And so Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 and following is really teaching us how to fight spiritually speaking. And not only to fight spiritually speaking, but how to protect ourselves spiritually speaking. But as we think about this spiritual battle that we're in, as we talked about last week from verses 10 and 11, we need protection, we need strength, we need wisdom beyond ourselves. The protection, the strength that we need in fighting the spiritual warfare, in protecting ourselves against our adversary, the devil, that strength doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. And that's why Paul will say there in verse number 10, to be strong, notice where, in the Lord. We can't stand on our own strength. That strength comes from the Lord. If we think we can stand on our own, guess what? We're going to fall on our faces every time, spiritually speaking. You see this thought in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says, "For wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If we find ourselves falling down in this spiritual battle, it might be that we're trying to rely upon ourselves and not the Lord. If we're going to endure the hardness of a good soldier, we're going to wage war and fight the good fight of faith, we have to realize where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord. You know, we live in a very dangerous world. As Paul describes in verse number 12, we live in a world that lies in wickedness, 1 John 5, verse number 19. And that's why it can be very difficult living the Christian life. We live in a very dark, dark world. There is danger all around us. And that's why we have to be on guard. That's why we have to be on alert. As Paul would say, or excuse me, as Peter would say in 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, to be watchful, to be sober, to be alert, to be aware of your surroundings. Because when we look out in the world, we see what we are surrounded with. We're surrounded with darkness, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Spiritual wickedness, Ephesians 6, verse number 12. And our soul is too precious. Salvation is too precious to fall away and to lose that eternal salvation. Stop and think about salvation for just a few minutes. And consider these verses. Hebrews 2 verse 3 teaches us that we can neglect our salvation. That's why we need to wage a good warfare, why we need to be putting on the whole armor of God. We can neglect our salvation. Galatians 5 verse 4 teaches us that we can fall from grace. It amazes me that when you listen to so many in the religious world, they'll come out and say that you can't fall from grace. But God says you can. Who are you going to believe? What man is saying or what God is saying? If we're going to wage this good warfare, and if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil and his lies, we must understand that we can fall from God's grace. And you'll find that exact wording in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. There were Christians there in the book of Galatians that were wanting to go back to the old law, trying to be justified by the Mosaic law. And Paul says, if you do that, if you go back to the old system that's been nailed to the cross, you have fallen from grace. You can neglect your salvation. You can fall from grace. That gives us motivation to fight the good fight of faith, to be alert, to be aware of our eternal salvation. Listen to this one. 2 Peter 1 verse 9. You can forget that you were purged from your past sins. You can forget that you were forgiven by God when you obey the gospel. Now the context is when you don't add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance. That's the context. If you don't grow, if you don't develop, if you're not properly equipped, spiritually speaking, you can fall away. You can even get to the point that you forgot that you were forgiven of your sins. And thus you neglect your salvation. We want to learn how to fight. And we want to learn how to protect ourselves, spiritually speaking, so the devil doesn't take advantage of us. And that was Paul's concern for the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He was worried that the devil would take advantage of us. If we're not properly equipped for battle, the spiritual battle that we're in, that's exactly what the devil is going to do. He's going to take advantage of us. Hold your spot there in Ephesians chapter 6 and turn over to John chapter 10. Because as we talk about this spiritual battle, I pointed out that we can neglect our salvation, that we can fall from God's grace, that we can forget that we were forgiven of our sins. But as we began talking about this Christian armor that we are to put on, I really want to begin with this context because this is such an encouraging context, and I believe it fits with what we're talking about. And so read with me John chapter 10 verse number 29, because this will prepare us for that armor that we're going to be talking about. John 10. This is the context where Jesus is the good shepherd. And he says in John 10 verse 29, My Father which gave them me is greater. John chapter 10 verse number 29, and we'll continue to read beginning at verse 29. Verse number 28. I knew that wasn't right, but I was looking for it. Verse number 28. And I give them eternal life, and listen to it, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Satan cannot overpower God. I love this context. No man will be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Now you have to read the context. Notice verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me. Satan cannot overpower God. Satan cannot overpower us as long as we hear His voice and follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. Speaking of Jesus, as long as we are following Jesus, as long as we are hearing His voice, following His Word, Satan cannot overpower us. We need to remember, though, that we're dealing with Satan. And when we are talking about Satan, dealing with Satan, we're dealing with a very powerful individual, a very powerful system, Paul talks about that system that we're delivered from when we obey the gospel in Colossians 1, verse number 13, when he says that we've been delivered from darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That happens at conversion. But we're emphasizing his system. It's a very powerful system that we are fighting against. And we cannot resist the devil on our own. He's very crafty, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. He's crafty. He knows what he is doing. He knows how to wage war against the people of God. Three times in the New Testament, we're encouraged to resist him. In James chapter 4, James specifically says that we are to resist him. 1 Peter chapter 5, we mentioned verse number 8 many times, speaking about the devil who is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen to verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We are encouraged by God, who is much more powerful than the devil, to resist our adversary. The third time where we're encouraged to resist him is found in this context that we're studying in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. We are to resist our adversary, and Paul tells us that if we're going to resist our adversary, if we're going to stand against him, we have to be properly prepared. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And so to be properly prepared against the evil day, Paul says we're to stand. And he tells us how to stand beginning at verse number 14. And we're going to be talking about these two pieces of armor this morning from verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The first piece of armor that we're going to talk about is having our loins girded about with truth. Stop and think about who we're fighting against. Stop and think about the evil system that we are against. We're against evil, spiritual wickedness. We're against darkness. We are fighting against our adversary, the devil, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He is over this system of darkness and evil that we are fighting against. And so the devil is a liar. And we see that in John 8, verse number 44. That's who he is. That is how he operates. That's how he wages war against us. He does so through his lies. Jesus described him as the father of lies. There is no good in him. You see him at work in Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered the world. How did sin enter the world? Through a lie? You see, Eve, she heard a lie. She believed a lie. And she obeyed a lie. Do you see how the devil deceived her? Do you see how he worked? He is the father of lies. And you see all the lies that are being told even today in a religious sense. He deceives, he wages war through his lies. The father of lies. And so our first defense, spiritually speaking, is the truth of God's Word. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. Notice the picture that Paul is painting for us in Ephesians chapter 6. He is painting a picture of a Roman soldier that is prepared for battle. And I believe Paul was doing this for a reason. I believe it had to do with Roman soldiers being everywhere. It didn't matter where you were at. Wherever you looked, you probably saw Roman soldiers that were properly trained, properly prepared for battle. And it's important to get this imagery in your mind because of the language that the Apostle Paul uses. As he speaks about this Christian armor, this first element, this first piece of armor is truth. We're to have our girds loaded with, he says we're to stand having our loins girt about with truth. Now, a Roman soldier wore a garment known as a tunic. A tunic was, some commentators describe it as a man's dress. It would have two openings in the top, and he would lift this garment over his head and raise his arms, put his arms through it, and that garment would come down to his knees, and that's what he would wear as he would go out into battle. This garment was made out of a very tough material. A Roman soldier usually wore a garment underneath that tunic. A Roman soldier then would take a sash or a belt, and he would put that sash or that belt around that tunic. Now when that soldier would go to battle, he would grab that tunic and he would tighten it up, and he would tighten up that sash, and it would tighten up that tunic. That tunic would be well fit to that soldier's body. Also, that Roman soldier would put his sword in his belt. It would carry his weapons. And that's the imagery that Paul is painting for us to help us understand the nature of the spiritual warfare that we're in. And so Paul says, spiritually speaking, you need to gird up your loins. You need to gird up that spiritual sash. And that belt or that sash would be truth. Gird up your loins with the truth of God's Word. Now the Greek word, athaleia, usually means content. The content of God's Word. But my question is that what Paul's talking about here? Is he talking about content? I believe he's talking more than just content. He's talking about our attitude, our commitment, our devotion to truth. If we're going to be prepared for battle, spiritually speaking, here's the idea, we have to be devoted, committed to the truth of God's Word. We have to love the truth. We have to believe the truth. We have to love the truth. We have to go to war for the truth of God's Word. That speaks of that commitment, that devotion that we are to have toward truth. And so again, Paul says there in verse number 13, as we stand, verse number 14, we do so having our loins girded about with truth. Think about that sash, that belt that Roman soldier wore. He would tighten that belt, and that belt would hold everything together. I mean, if he didn't tighten his sash, he wouldn't be able to fight. His garment would be loose, his sword would fall on the ground, and so he would gird up that sash, and that sash would hold everything together. That's what truth does for us, spiritually speaking. It holds our life together. Think about it. It holds our life, spiritual life, together. Think about it. Sin easily besets us. That's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against darkness. We're fighting against sin. We learn in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Paul, or the writer, says, sin easily besets us. It trips us up. It takes us down. But think about the truth of God's Word. It sets us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're to gird up the loins of our mind with the truth of God's Word. Not only does the Word of God free us when we obey the Word of God, but it protects us. God's Word is truth, John 17, verse 17. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. There is no way to win this spiritual warfare without the truth of God's Word. It's not just knowing the content of God's Word either, as we're pointing out. It's the right attitude toward truth. It's being committed, devoted to the truth of God's Word that will save your soul, that will set you free, that will protect you from everything that the devil throws at you. Later on we'll read about those fiery darts in verse number 16 that the devil is shooting against us. Truth will protect us. Notice number 2. The second piece of armor, verse number 14. We're just going to mention 2 this morning. We'll mention 2, Lord willing, next week. Paul talks about that breastplate of righteousness. You can't just run into battle without that breastplate. I mean, you can have that tunic on, that man dress, and you can have that sash tightened up, ready for war. But can you imagine that soldier going into battle without that breastplate? Oh, he could be hit in the arm and hit in the leg and still be able to fight. But to be hit in the heart wouldn't be good. You see, the breastplate protects the most vital organ of the soldier's body. And so as Paul's looking at that Roman soldier, as he sees that tunic and as he sees that sash, he's making the application spiritually speaking. Now he sees that breastplate and how that breastplate is protecting the most vital organ, the breastplate of righteousness. Question, what is this breastplate of righteousness? There are two ideas. I'm not going to try to get too technical here, but I believe that God's Word is technical in this sense, and that's why I'm going to bring it up. There are two ideas. I believe they kind of work together as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, there's imputed righteousness. New Testament uses that terminology in the book of Romans. Imputed righteousness, and then there's practical righteousness. Now, imputed righteousness is very, very important, and that's where it all starts. There's no way that they will ever win the battle without imputed righteousness. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Notice with me Philippians chapter 3. As I said, Paul talks about this too, but Paul talks about his life being a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, zealous of the old law. But read with me Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. What Paul wanted more than anything was to be right with God. And he says, verse 9, to be found in Him, listen to it, not having my own righteousness. That's what he was seeking as a Pharisee, as a Hebrew. He was self-righteous. The Pharisees developed their own system of righteousness. And Paul says, I don't want my own righteousness. My own righteousness won't save me. Okay, so he says, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. Listen to it. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's imputed righteousness. Well, what does that mean, imputed righteousness? Again, you'll see this also in Romans chapter 4. It simply means this: righteousness that is credited to you when you obey the gospel. In other words, when you obey the gospel, you're delivered from the devil's system of darkness, and you've now been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You are now a Christian. Your sins have now been washed away, and God declares you righteous. Not by your own righteousness, but through the righteousness of Christ, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith being in Him. That's how we receive imputed or credited righteousness. And so when a person obeys the gospel, God declares that person just. God is the one that's doing the declaring of that individual as being just, being righteous by being in Christ Jesus. You see, being in Christ Jesus makes all the difference in the world. But that's not what Paul is completely talking about here when he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. I think it's implied to a degree because that's where it starts. Because imputed righteousness, righteousness that's credited to our account through Jesus Christ, is something that God does. It's not something that we do. It's something that God does. Paul is saying this is something that we do. Read the context again of Ephesians chapter 6. We are to put on this belt of truth. We are to put on this breastplate of righteousness. God has a part in our salvation. We know that. We have a part in our salvation. And I believe that's the emphasis. Now that we're in Christ, now righteousness has been credited to our account. Philippians 2 verse 12 also teaches us, now we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that we're a Christian, here it is. Now that we're a Christian, now that righteousness has been credited to our account, we are commanded to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I've never thought about this. Titus 2 verse 12 teaches us that. That we are to live soberly, here's our word, righteously. You can't live that way, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world without imputed righteousness. Righteousness that is credited to our account. Once we become a Christian, though, we're now in a position to live out Titus 2 verse number 12. And that's the idea that Paul is talking about here to those who've been imputed with righteousness. You put on that breastplate of righteousness. And so there's imputed righteousness, there's practical righteousness. Practical righteousness has to do with day-to-day living. Another way of saying it, it has to do with holy living. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Live a holy life. And you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must put on that sash of truth. We must put on that breastplate of righteousness if we are going to fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what's encouraging as you read through this context? We can go to war prepared for battle. Whatever the devil throws at us, God prepares His children. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I hope we take this imagery and we put it into our minds. What the devil wants you to believe more than anything is that you cannot resist him. That you cannot stand against him. What he wants you to believe more than anything is that he is more powerful than you are. But as we can see from the scriptures this morning, we can be properly prepared. We can arm ourselves. We can resist him. We have that belt of truth. We have that breastplate of righteousness. Remember, that breastplate of righteousness, it protects the most vital organ of the body. That breastplate of righteousness, spiritually speaking, protects the most vital organ that we have, spiritually speaking. That's the heart. Isn't it interesting that as you go through and study the life of Judas, Scripture says that Satan entered Judas's heart. How did he do that? Judas provided the right kind of heart that allowed the devil to work his craftiness, his subtlety, and the devil had his way of Judas because Satan entered his heart. That breastplate of righteousness keeps the devil out of our life. It protects our heart. And so may God help us to treasure the Word, to treasure the truth, to treasure every command that we have in the Word of God because it protects us. It might be that you're not a New Testament Christian. We want you to know this morning that in order to win the war over evil, over the devil, we must obey the gospel. And when we obey the gospel, we become righteous. We become righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God declares us just. He declares us right through the blood of His Son. And the only way that we can contact that precious blood is by obeying the gospel, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of our sins, confessing Christ, being baptized into Christ, because that's how we identify ourselves with the sacrifice of Christ. And when we contact the blood of Christ, our sins are washed away. And we are to rise and to walk in newness of life. Now that we're a Christian, we are to fight the good fight. We're to do the very best that we can, not on our own. Our strength comes from God. He is the one that gives us that sash of truth. He is the one that provides that breastplate of righteousness that will protect our heart. We want you to know that heaven's invitation is open to every individual who is so willing to respond. It might be that you're not a child of God. We hope that you will think about the war that we're in. We want you to understand that if you're not a Christian, we're not trying to be unkind in any way, but if you're not a Christian, you belong to the devil. And the devil has you, and he has a death grip on your soul. But you can change that this morning. You can be delivered from the power of the devil by obeying the gospel, by becoming a New Testament Christian, and that changes everything about who you are. No longer are you a servant of the devil. You're now a servant, a child, a soldier of God. And so this morning, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we pray that you will respond as we stand and as we sing.